Hello, welcome to 21st Century Moses Podcast. My name is Sammy Zhu, your host.
What do you think about evangelism? When it comes to evangelism, people might say, you know, I have no gift in evangelism. I don't want to talk to a stranger. You know, I don't really know how to share the gospel. Or you might think like evangelism is not really personal or individual, but it can be like a big crusade, like Billy Graham preached to thousands of people all around the world. So that is really the evangelism. But we, like normal people, we cannot really do it. And what if we break up with our friends and because, you know, it's a religion is really their matter and the personal matter. And then I cannot force someone to believe what I believe. So we might have so many things, so many opinions and perspectives on evangelism. So evangelism is only for those who are like a Billy Graham, like a big pastors or clergies, but it's not for every Christian. What do you really think about evangelism? Now, today we're going to talk about evangelism and from the best evangelist, no other than Jesus Christ himself. So we are going to learn how he evangelized, how he shared the gospel with a person, and then a very unlikely person in the Bible, but it's amazing, amazing example. So let's look at John chapter 4, verses 25 through 26 to look at today's story together. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. Then that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking to you." So this passage is a very famous passage about the conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And in this passage, not only in this two verses, but also from verses 1 through 26, and we can find five principles of how Jesus engaged the gospel conversation with a person. So it's more of like a one-on-one evangelism. So there are five steps right here. The first one is greeting in verse 7. Second one is transition. Third one is desperation. And the fourth one is gospel. And then fifth one is invitation. So we're going to look at one by one. But let me give you some context of what this story is about. Now, Jesus, after, you know, speaking amazing truth by himself, and then also Jesus, John the Baptist was talking about who Jesus was in the later part of John chapter 3, and then in the John chapter 4, in the following chapter, Jesus was going into the northern part, but he had to go through Samaria. But if you look at the historical context between Jewish people and the Samaritan people, you know, there was a big chasm between them. I'm not going to go into the whole detail, but because of the historical, the division, geographical division, and also the spiritually Jewish people despised on Samaritan people because Jewish people thought that Samaritans were the synchronized people, that they were they were mixed marriage and mixed race, and they were kind of compromising with the pagan worship and whatnot. So to Jewish people, Samaritans were completely taken off from the blessing from God. So the Jewish people, when they were going to the northern part, they were bypassing the Samaritan area. So they did not go through Samaritan area. That's how much Jewish people hated. And Samaritans did not like Jewish people either. However, against the odds, Jesus was going through Samaritan because, of course, Jesus knew what he was doing, and then he knew who he is going to meet. And today's passage is starting with a story, conversation between a woman, Samaritan woman, and we do not know her name, but she has a very unique story, and we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. But Jesus was engaging the conversation with her. So let's look at these five steps again, and then let's kind of find out how this conversation was going on. So Jesus started conversation in verse 7. It says it's a greeting, and Jesus says, "Give me a drink." Now, you might think like, give me a drink. That's kind of very casual way of starting a conversation. Yes, it is. It is true. And the Samaritan woman and Jesus, they met in the well. So, of course, there is a water. And I'm sure that Jesus could go and get his own drink, and the Jewish people would not even venture to ask that kind of things to the Samaritan people. So Samaritan woman was kind of turned off because historically she was not supposed to talked by Jewish men. But this Jewish man, of course, she did not know who he was until that moment, but this Jewish man, this strange man, is starting the conversation with her. But anyway, Jesus started a very casual way, "Give me a drink." So anybody can really say that, right? "Give me a drink." But Jesus did not stay there too long, because his purpose is not just to get a water, but he wanted to bring the spiritual truth to this woman, Samaritan woman. So he made a transition. In verse 10, Jesus was saying, "I will give you living water." You see the difference? He started off with water in verse 7. But in verse 10, he changed it to what? Living water. So you see the spiritual transition right here. Living. By adding living, Jesus is getting into his main topic, which is the gospel. But before getting to the gospel, he was bringing this transition comment by saying, by adding living water. So you many times, people are starting off with a casual conversation, but like sports and movies and whatnot, but that's good. However, if they spend too much time in there, like 20 minutes and 30 minutes, without getting into the spiritual conversation, then probably this person would not be able to hear the gospel at all. So we need to make that quick transition to the spiritual matter. And how do we do that? We will talk about it just in a little bit later. However, Jesus made this intentional effort to make the transition from day-to-day conversation to the spiritual conversation just by one adjective, which is living. Because Jesus is going to talk that he is the giver of this living water. And then he is going to talk about who he is to this woman. So let's go back to this passage again, today's point again. So I will give you living water. And then the woman was saying jokingly or sarcastically, it's like, you know, "Oh, I need that water, so I don't have to come to this well anymore," because, you know, she has a very strange or very loaded the past, and she did not want to talk about it to anybody else. But she had to, you know, live on this water anyway, so she was going to the water. But if this man is giving like a living water that will not stop at all, then definitely I will buy that. So that is kind of the woman's reaction. So far, greeting and transition was kind of an entry level, but the next one is the pivotal moment, because in verse 16, Jesus changed the subject completely, and he said, "Bring me your husband." And then the woman was like, "Oh, I don't have any husband." And Jesus goes on to say in verse 18, "You are right, you don't have a husband. You have lived with five men, but the one you live right now, he is not your husband." And this woman was completely amazed, and probably she would have felt so much of a shame and guilt, because that was the least thing that she would talk about, because she had having five husbands in the past. Now the one who is living with her is not even a husband. That's a shameful story. And definitely it's a private matter, but she is exposed before Jesus right there. She became so desperate, not only mentally, but also spiritually right there. She was completely lost. But at the same time, she was amazed by how Jesus figured out what she was hiding for a long time. And then verse 19, this woman would say, "Oh, I figured out that you are a prophet." Okay, so that is kind of number three. This the step, desperation. Now, for evangelism, sometimes we want to talk about good things because gospel is definitely a good news. There's no question about it. However, without getting to the desperation, people would not feel the necessity or need for Jesus until they are coming to the point that they needed something else more than the world can provide, then they will not see the need for accepting Jesus Christ. So this desperation stage is so important. Until verse 16, this woman probably would not even see Jesus or anything like that, because she was there to get water, and then, you know, living water sounds good, but she had no idea what that living water is. It sounds all good, but when she was exposed to the core of her problem, then her heart was completely devastated and desperate. And then she needed something else more than just the water. And then that's where Jesus was coming in. And that's what Jesus was revealing himself. Because in the verse 4, Jesus said, "I am he." Let's look at today's passage again. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. We know that Messiah is the hope and he is our promise, and he's the one that I need." And then when that one comes, he will declare all things to us. So we see that spiritual cry, desperation right here. And then verse 26 says, Jesus said to her, "I am he. I am the Messiah. I am the answer. I am the hope. I am the one that you need the most." This is what Jesus is saying. So that is the gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel is the good news. And the gospel is about who Jesus is. Gospel is the good news to the whole world that the world need Jesus. So Jesus is speaking the gospel himself to this woman. And then the final step is this, invitation. Verse 29, the woman was so overwhelmed by this gospel, and so she got so excited, and her heart was open, and she could not just hold it to herself. So she went back to the village, and she began to tell everyone, and saying, "Isn't he Christ? He told everything about me. He is the Christ." So what's happening in her? She not only believed in Jesus Christ, but also she became a messenger. She became a missionary right away, that she began to talk about Jesus Christ, meaning that she came to the Lord. Invitation is there. It's, in other words, it's the response. Yes, Jesus talked the gospel to her. But if we do not respond to him, if we do not accept him, there's no point. This woman responded to Jesus by accepting Jesus and proclaiming Jesus. So the invitation was there, and the invitation is so important. Decision to follow Jesus must be the response, our proper response to the gospel of Christ Jesus. So this is the five steps of Jesus's personal evangelism with this Samaritan woman, as we can see in this chapter. Now, the question is, how do we apply this into our life? So the first one is, again, greeting. So how do we greet people? I mean, it's very easy. You can start off the conversation like, "Hello, how are you?" Maybe you can say, "How's the weather?" And, "How do you like here?" If you feel like that person is kind of new to this area. I mean, you can start with any kind of question or any kind of casual conversation. If you know the person already, you might say, "Hey, how's your work and how's your family? What did you do last week? And hey, where did you go for your vacation?" We can come up with so many questions. I think this would be the easiest part. Now, let me tell you, I'm an introvert, so talking to stranger or talking to even my friends, it's challenging. It's not easy. So you might think like, you know, this is only for the extrovert and who can make friends right away. Of course, That might be easier for them. However, the evangelism is not only for a certain type of people. God has called us to go out and share the gospel, go out and make disciples of all nations. So that we first, even before starting this casual conversation, we need to pray to the Lord that God, please help us as we engage this, engage with this person with the gospel of Christ Jesus. So Father, please help us and guide us. So let's pray continually and then start this casual conversation. You don't have to go directly to the gospel right away, but start. However, again, do not stay too long with this casual conversation. So take about 1 or 2 minutes in this greeting, casual conversation. And then you need to move on to next part, which is transition. Now, Jesus used the living water as the transitioning point. So how should we make that transition? Of course, you can use some words like if you have watched a movie, you might say, hey, I watched a movie last week and then the title of the movie was Passion of Christ or His Only Son, if you watch the Christian movie. So we can kind of change that transition. But not always. It's not always easy to make that transition. And I heard some of the questions from people that it is definitely so hard and kind of awkward when they were kind of sharing or changing that topic from the casual topic to the spiritual topic. I understand that. So again, pray and seek God's wisdom. But my suggestion for you is this. When you make that transition, the best way to transition is sharing your testimony. So testimony is what? It's the story of how God has saved you. So you can say, you know, I was going through a very difficult time and at some point, but Jesus met me and He changed me completely. So I became a new person. Or some kind of recent story that you have experienced God's power in your life. Like I was going through health issue, and I prayed and God really healed me, so I experienced the power of God. So it can be anything, but it's really life story that you have experienced, the God's blessing, God's power in your life. But here, the point is this, the transition testimony is not the main story you want to talk about. However, transition, the testimony can work, can serve as a appetizer. The main dish is the gospel that you're going to share, but this the testimony is a very easy topic because it's your story. So it's not a made-up story, but the listeners cannot argue against that story because this is your true story, right? And then this true story is powerful enough to open up the hearts of people. But the point is this, the testimony, since this is an appetizer, do not spend too much time in your testimony. Some people share their testimony like 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. That's great. Of course, if you have like a retreat setting, you can do that. However, in a day-to-day conversation, normally people do not have enough time, long time. So limit it to 1 to 2 to 3 minutes. Okay, short testimony, but it is very powerful testimony. This testimony must have these three components. It's like 2 to 3 minutes of testimony. You must include how was your life in the past before Jesus, and how you met Jesus, and how has your life changed since then. This is the post meeting with Jesus, right? So three elements. My life was very unhappy before meeting Jesus, but Jesus met me and then He changed me so much, and then I've been living so happily because of Jesus Christ, something like that. So it can be very simple, but a very powerful story of you. So that will lead to the next part, which is desperation. Desperation. You might think that desperation part is impossible because Jesus is Jesus and He knew the problem of the woman. Nobody knew about the woman's life because the woman was trying to hide herself. That is why the woman came to the well in the middle of the day. You know, imagine how hot it would be. She was coming to the well around that time because she knew that there's nobody in the well because of the heat of the day. Why would she do that? Because she had so many shameful story. She did not want to talk about it. She did not want to be exposed by other people. So that's why she came by herself. However, that's where Jesus was waiting for her. Jesus was waiting for her because he already knew that this woman would come to know him, that this whole village would hear the gospel of Christ Jesus through her, so that purposefully, intentionally, he was there. And then a desperation part, Jesus exposed her, of course. Jesus wanted to go directly to the core of the problem of her. Now, it's possible because Jesus is God. God knows everything, so that he knows our pain and suffering and all the problems. So Jesus can do that, but we're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I'm not God. So we don't know what kind of problems, what kind of deep core issues that this person has. So how can we get to the desperation? My suggestion is prayer. Now, after you share testimony, you kind of expose or open up your problems that you had before meeting Jesus, right? So when you share that, people normally feel like they can also open up and share some of their problems. And then when you ask for their prayer, ask prayers like, how can I pray for you? Then the other person that was listening to your testimony, they may open up and say, you know what? Thank you for sharing your testimony, but I also have the problem. So can you pray for me? So as you are asking, offering this prayer, then the other person may come to the point of desperation. Yes, I do have this problem. I do have this problem. So please pray for me. Now, is it really possible? Yes, I've seen it. Because when I visited my home country, on the first day, I was very tired because of jet lag, but the Holy Spirit really prompted in my heart to share the gospel with an older lady. She was visiting my mother-in-law's place. I mean, outside, she looked so great. I mean, perfect. I mean, she was a very prominent teacher, and she was living in a wealthy home. So just looking at from outside, she looks like she did not have any problem. But as I was engaging the conversation with her, and I shared my testimony, and I began to hear that how horrible, how hard life she's been living with, that she's been abused physically by her husband for so many years. And all things that she was thinking about was a divorce. So I shared the gospel with her, and she accepted Jesus by God's grace, by God's power. It was amazing. But just think about this. When you pass by people and then they look happy, they live in a big house, so you might think like, you know, they have no problem. But that is not the case. Everyone has a problem. Doesn't matter how rich, how great place they live, and how healthy they are, they all have problems. They just don't talk about it, but just because they are not talking about it doesn't mean that they don't have any problem. We all have problems. So the Holy Spirit really leads us to go to the deep depth of the core of problem. That's when people see the need of Savior, need for answer. So that's where we, the gospel, the power can go in. So let's go back to today's point again. So after offering the prayer, they might say, you know, I have this problem, and thank you for your prayers. So after your prayer, and say, hey, let me share the answer to all these problems. And this is how I got the answer. So now you share the gospel. Of course, Jesus said, I am he, I'm the Messiah. He can say that because he is the Messiah. He is the fulfilled one, promised one. But how can we really share the gospel? It's very simple. Share about who Jesus is. But before you share about who Jesus is, explain more about who we are as well, that we are sinners. Connecting to the previous point, which is desperation. You might say, yes, we have all these problems. Problem of sickness, problem of pain, problem of suffering, loneliness, all of this. But why do we have all this problem? It is because of sin. So that the ultimate cause and ultimate problem that we all have is sin and death, and ultimately is hell. So what is really the gospel? God created the whole world, and God, he created us in his image. But willfully, Adam and Eve, we disobeyed God by eating the fruit of good and knowledge and evil. And this disobedience is called sin. And sin separated us from God and us because God is holy and God cannot allow any sin in his presence. So we were separated from him. And then they were separated from, expelled from the Garden of Eden. But ultimately, they will die because of the sin and they will suffer in hell. But not just them, but all of us. Because we are sinners, we are going to suffer in hell. Now, we're going even deeper into the problem. Because this is not just your problem, but this is our problem, everyone's problem, that we die and we suffer in hell because of our sin. So you kind of bring the weight and gravity of sin, depravity of a human heart, so important. Without that, people will not see the need of Jesus. They might think like, you know, money can solve our problem, my health or people or job and all those things can help them. But that is not the case because they still need Jesus Christ. So God sent the perfect way. The way is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is perfect. He is holy. He is mighty that he fed 5,000 people with 5 bread and 2 fish, and he raised the dead. So that means Jesus is stronger than death, and he cast out demons, and he is stronger than demon. He is a good shepherd. He always leads us to the green pasture. But a lot of people hated Jesus, and Jesus gave himself into their hands. Now, we're getting into what Jesus has done. I already explained that Jesus is mighty God. He is perfect. However, you know, he was hated by so many people, and he gave himself into their hands, and Jesus died on the cross. But you might ask a question, why did Jesus die? I mean, a lot of people believe, and a lot of people follow Jesus, love them Jesus. But why did he have to die in the capital punishment, which was the worst punishment at all time? Because number one, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for us. Animal sacrifice cannot do justice because people kept sinning regardless, and the animal sacrifice became the ritualistic. However, Jesus gave himself as the perfect sacrifice, and without shedding the blood, there is no forgiveness. So Jesus shed his own blood to forgive us. And we're the ones who are supposed to die on the cross because we are the sinners, but Jesus loved us and he died on the cross in our place on behalf of us, for us. That shows how much he loves us. Because of his love, he died for us. So when God sees us, no matter how great works that we do, God must punish us because of sins that we have. But because perfect Jesus died for us and he atoned for our sin perfectly, when God sees Jesus' sacrifice for us, he forgives us. Not because of who we are, not because of what we have done, but because of who Jesus is and because of what Jesus has done. This is why Jesus died on the cross. But amazing thing happened that in 3 days, Jesus was risen from the dead, conquering sin and death forever, and he is going to come back to the world to judge us. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you will be forgiven, you will be redeemed, and you will have eternal life. Just as in John chapter 3, verse 16, come to Jesus, believe in Jesus. This is the gospel of Christ Jesus. So after desperation, you should not leave that person in that desperation. You need to bring the gospel to the person so that that person can hear the gospel clearly, and that person can accept Jesus Christ as his or her savior. So that is the last part, which is the invitation. So invitation. Again, I mentioned briefly already, but invitation is right after you share the gospel of Christ Jesus, like who Jesus is and what he has done. It's important for you to give an invitation to the person so that this person will have an opportunity to respond to the message. Well, this person may be saying, you know, that's not for me. I'm too busy. I don't have time to do this. They may walk away from there. They may not accept Jesus, but it's not your fault. You know, maybe they're not just ready, but it's really God's work, God's power. Nobody can save people except him. So what you and I need to do, we just simply need to share the gospel. But what we need to do is to extend this invitation for them to accept Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? Of course, this is not a magical formula, but we do it through ABC. It's called the ABC prayer. Acknowledge your sin. B is a belief. that Jesus died for your sin and turned away, rose from the dead. And C is confess. Confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Confess that you will follow Him alone all the days of your life. Okay? So, but people may think this sinner's prayer is the magic wand. So as long as you did this prayer, then God automatically saves you. Well, no, the prayer does not save you. God saves you by His grace through faith in Him. But the prayer is a tool to confess. Because in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10, by confessing with your mouth that He is your Lord and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? So do not trust the sinner's prayer as the tool, but it is just a prayer to confess with your mouth. So that give this invitation to the person. And if this person accepts Jesus Christ, then just like Samaritan woman did, this person becomes the ambassador, messenger for Jesus Christ. So this person can go back to the family, village, and anywhere to spread the gospel of Christ Jesus. That is how invitation work, and this is how the true response to the gospel looks like. So this is Jesus' evangelism, and definitely we can learn from the master of evangelism, Christ Himself, so that we can apply this and bring more people, lead more people to Jesus Christ by His grace, by His power. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You, we praise You for teaching us how we can share the gospel. But Father, please help us that we will not just know about this as an information, but we will do this, we will apply this in our life. So that evangelism will not be just in the activities of a church, but it will be daily life that we live it out every day to share the gospel. As You went to Samaritan woman, most unlikely person, Father, please help us to go to anybody that we can so that we can share the gospel, no matter who that person is, so that that person would see Your glory and then the person would come to know You. We thank You, we praise You. In Jesus' holy name I prayed. Amen.